This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Merry Christmas, shitheads, or should I say, Happy Holidays. That's right, I'm commencing the War on Christmas. But before I call you all to battle to the North Pole to kill Santa Claus, I just want to tell you about Mack Weldon underwear. And socks and sweats and t-shirts and all that stuff. But look, I know it sounds hack because I'm a podcast host and here I am hawking you some Mack Weldon underwear. But in reality, I use my own promo code this year, which is Mighty BT Dubs, to replace all of my underwear with Mack Weldon underwear. I no longer wear any other underwear but Mack Weldon underwear. They're comfortable. They fit big guys like me. The waistband doesn't fold if that's an issue, because if you have a belly, the waistband doesn't fold up and end up being like a little G-string on you. It fits comfortably. It stays down around the thighs rather than becoming some sort of sumo diaper. And they look good, they smell good, and they stay comfortable all day. I know I said they smell good, but they have a line of silver, which is like one of their lines, and it's naturally antimicrobial. But that's just underwear, which is what I need, right? They also sell socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants. I bought 3 pairs of sweatpants, one in each color. They're comfortable as hell, and they look pretty formal. I wear them on flights. Socks is my next thing. As soon as I get another, hopefully another little promo code or a little extra little bonus for being a podcast host, I'm going to replace all my socks with Mack Weldon socks. I never thought I gave a shit about having good underwear. I wore other brands for so long it didn't even matter. Now I have good underwear. Okay, just get yourself some Mack Weldon underwear, all right? Or Mack Weldon anything. If you want to try a pair of the underwear and you don't like it, you get to keep it and you can get a refund. So just do that at minimum. At minimum, buy yourself a pair of underwear and then get the refund so you can try a pair of underwear. The promo code is Mighty, get you 20% off. Promo code Mighty. You can wear these underwears to work out, go on dates, work out, squat, deadlift, press, bench, hang power clean. You could use it. You can wear them while you're fingering a girl. You can wear it while you're fingering a guy. You can give a hand job in them. You can get a hand job in them. They really are the best. All right? Do yourself a favor. Get yourself some Mack Weldon gear. Promo code Mighty. Mighty. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your host, Johnny G, your boy, the number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. What's up, guys? We're in the High and Mighty studio. Joining me today is comedian, writer, at midnight panelist and friend Matt Golditch. Matt,
hello,
how's
John.
It going, sir?
Wow, Arthur gets really excited for your intro. Does he recognize it?
I think he knows. Well, he also gets keyed up the second the smell of like marijuana starts happening, because
okay.
He knows.
Yeah.
I'm getting down to his level.
There you go.
as always, my co-host, my almost silent co-host Arthur is here. He's going to be scurrying around a lot. He's excited that Golditch is here.
I'm excited.
Yeah, you should be.
Yeah, I don't normally, I mean, it's funny because I don't love dogs, but I'm actually staying in a house while I'm here with dogs, and so it's like a big, like a dog vacation for me.
Oh, yeah. No dog, you're not a dog guy? You're a kid guy, which
I'm
is
not,
enough.
I am a kid guy, that's, yeah, which is like having 10 dogs.
Is the term
but,
a father?
Yeah, father. I believe father is the term. Yeah.
I guess you don't want to be considered
a kid guy.
I'm
a kid enthusiast. Yeah, you don't want to be one of those. Yeah.
That is the most PC spin on pedophilia I've ever heard.
I'm a connoisseur of children.
Enjoy kids' company.
I do, yes. Is there anything wrong with a grown man who likes kids but not dogs? No, this is fun. He seems very, very friendly.
What kind of dogs are staying with that you're staying with? Currently?
What do you call it? They're the same dogs that the Obamas have.
Portuguese water dogs.
Yeah, two of them. So.
Little tubos.
There you go.
All right, Matt, before we get into talking our topic, which I always tease out, and I always actually say this joke now, so I really got to put a stop to it, but I always tease it out and then remember that it's in the title of the podcast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, let's not tell them we're talking about game shows yet, but they clicked on something that's...
Right, yeah. Yeah. That's a big problem.
That's a huge problem. Guys, between me saying the title of the podcast and Trump, this whole country is going down.
Oh,
those are the two things in that order.
In that order.
Yeah, I
can
noticed
I hold
that,
it like this? Is this okay?
Yeah, you can hold it like that. You can go. I do Freddie Mercury where I hold the whole mic stand.
No.
Yeah, I realized that you were like...
I was very much hunched over, and I'm not even a tall guy, so I don't really know what was happening. Yeah.
I have these half mic stands. Yeah. That's the problem.
So we're going to read a little, a couple of quick reviews before we get into our topic. And so starting with this, this is from Abnormal456. If you're trying to see another perspective outside of your liberal intellectual bubble, then look no further. Jan Grabass is as dumb as they get. He has no taste and no capacity to learn. I particularly hate his drooling over chain food restaurants that fuel his obvious digestive issues, i.e. burps and farts, heard on the podcast. Can't miss pod. Love him. Thank you, Abnormal456. I'm not dumb, but yeah, I definitely am outside your liberal intellectual bubble.
I mean, you're sort of off to the side of the bubble, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm bubble adjacent.
You did get out the burp immediately before we went on air in this case, so maybe you'll be done for the hour.
No, you wish.
More coming.
Yeah, no, I've been firing SBDs since I started screaming, fuck boy.
maybe that's what Arthur's excited about.
I tried to, that is my silent farts. I did have a iced coffee and protein shake blended myself with some bananas and almond butter.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance this gets paused and I
fair enough. Well,
destroy a quick toilet.
I'll be happy to hang with Arthur while that happens.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. This is, you've been over my house now for about 15 minutes and I've mentioned the toilet 12 times.
Yeah. That's fully, I mean, you know,
I'm on game.
We could talk. One of the topics I suggested that we maybe talk about me being gluten free. So that's a whole other thing for another episode. I have plenty of toilet experience.
I have tons of toilet experience. Yeah. That's how you got the job at Myers, right?
Yeah.
That's your resume, just says toilet experience.
Exactly. Yeah. I also clean toilets. Yeah.
Oh, my toilet experience has nothing to do with shitting.
Yeah.
This is from Bang Bang This Ain't. Oh, okay. I get it now. This is from Lem or Nick, but the title is Bang Bang This Ain't.
Right.
Garb John Briss, who is most well known for his bafflingly many appearances on hit podcast Comedy Bang Bang as disgusting human garbage Gino the Intern, where Gabrus stretches what truly qualifies as a character. In another life, Gabrus was cast in Entourage playing Turtle with less charm than Jerry Ferrara. Any podcast appearance with Gabrus is always a delight. 5 stars. I would take a less charming Jerry Ferrara.
Yeah.
Who I think is maybe the most charming human being alive.
Right? Yeah, there you go. You're a poor man's Jerry Ferrara.
Thank you. Did you watch Entourage?
I watched every single episode of Entourage.
Me
from
too.
From the beginning to the end.
And did you watch it? A lot of people I know watch it ironically.
No.
And I watch it unironically for about 5 seasons.
Yes. Well, the first few seasons are genuinely, I think, good and funny.
And we were in our 20s.
And then they slowly started eliminating jokes and hoped that no one would notice. And
it stopped becoming a comedy.
I would say about 2 years after they did that, I noticed.
Right.
And then I was like, wait a minute. What happened? Why? How did I end up watching this half-hour drama about Hollywood?
It became so full of itself, as if the job of acting was
it
important.
Really did. And then not only that, I watched the movie.
Okay, I have a lot of hot takes on the movie.
I found myself not hating it as much as I expected to, because it was set up as like an abomination. The movie was sort of like plugged as like, this is the worst movie of all time. And what it was an hour and a half long or 2 hour long Entourage episode.
Right. It was a terrible movie, but if you know the Entourage brand,
it was fine. Yeah. It was just a fine way to spend
it. It was like watching 4 season 6 episodes back
to back. Exactly, which is like, you know, I would have done that too. So, I did do it. So, who am I to complain? But yeah.
I feel the same way. And the thing that the Entourage movie does, that the show itself does, but the movie really juices up because they jam in so many celebrity cameos, is where they give the context for the celebrity so they don't have to say their name.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be like Cristiano Ronaldo is like juggling a soccer ball, and it's like Drew Brees is like throwing a football. Like, it's always like, hey, Ronda, staying in the UFC ring, Miss Rousey? Like,
it's their way of being like, trust us, this is a well-known celebrity.
Right. It's like one, it's a verbal Chiron.
Yeah. Oh, man. But it's one of those things where it's so funny how there's like a few comedy things where some people, for whatever reason, even in like, there's this rule in comedy, like, you're not supposed to shit on other comedies, but Entourage is one of those where, like, oh no, it's fine. But I sort of do agree with you. I take the other side where I'm just
I think most people are, like, at least most comedy dudes I know that watched Entourage were the same thing. Like, oh, yeah, I was into it for like four seasons and then couldn't get out when I knew it was bad. So I just flipped my POV watching.
Right. Yeah. I can. It's probably confusing, though, if you watch Mr. Selfridge first.
Because it is. That's the prequel.
So I would say Entourage and then Mr. Selfridge. Go that order if you can.
That's just the easiest way to do it. All right. And here's the last review from Drew Carrymore. Oh, good pun. Oh, and I'll give him a shout-out for the title of the review. It's just some guy with a 516 area code. All right. Thank you. That's a real Long Island dig there. Gabrus, you are just some guy from Long Island. That is all you are and all you will ever be. Any other notions you have about yourself are narcissistic lies you created to ease your self-hatred about how little you will ever contribute with your comedy and buffoonish presence. When I read these reviews, I notice how few people use commas because I get out of breath at the end of like a 9-word sentence. You are that guy from Long Island who goes to the Best Buy in Levittown, then to the Wendy's across the street, and then to the Kohl's to buy a knockoff Tiki Barber jersey. That is who you are. Huh. A guy from Long Island who is nothing else. 5 stars. I listen every Thursday, unless Doughboys is really good. And if so, I'll listen to that twice instead. Wow. Thank you. Shout out to my favorite podcast, The Doughboys. All right.
Isn't Long Island traditionally more Jets country, or am I wrong about that?
You are correct about that because they practice at Hofstra, right. So a lot of people become fans that way.
Right.
But it also, it's more Mets territory, but I think the Italians are Yankee fans.
Yeah.
That's what because it's like DiMaggio, my grandfather loved him or whatever, or my dad, depending on how old the person is.
Mets is like Jews and comedians.
Yes, it's like Jews. It's Queens. Yeah. So which is Jews and comedians.
Yeah.
I ended up being a Giants fan because of the classic, like, my dad was a Giants fan.
Right.
My brother rebelled for a couple of years and went with the Eagles just to spite my father.
That's I'm an Eagles fan.
Are
so,
you?
Yeah.
But you're from...
I grew up outside Philly.
Yeah.
So,
I get yours and Goldstein's bios confused, but they're very similar. So
yeah.
I'm not incorrect.
Yeah, Goldstein, he's so excited that I'm...
shout out Andrew Goldstein, the co-host of your podcast.
Sorry I've been so busy. And we have...
On the Showbriz Studios Network?
Yeah, there you go. You've listened. And you know we have a running joke, or not a running joke, but a running thing on the podcast about you've come up a lot on the podcast, and we have yet to establish whether, like 100% accurately, whether or not you have children.
Right. So, I heard the Michelle Collins episode.
It came up on the Michelle Collins episode where we somehow got off on a sidetrack, a tangent about... whether or not you
Goldstein
and your
saw
wife
me like the
children.
Day before, so he needed to bring me up on the
yeah,
podcast
exactly.
to get a little Gabrus adjacent.
He likes, he's very
get that Gabrus runoff pussy.
Yeah. But but then I talk about like things that nobody cares about. It has come up like 6 times in different episodes on the podcast about whether or not you have children.
Golditch, you're here now.
You do not have
I
children.
Do not have
I can
children.
Tell right away from the minute I walk into your home. No, but we pretty much established it, but then we never like it was
confirmed.
More fun to just not know.
Both of you knowing all my contact info.
Yeah. We could have no, it was more fun to just have you keep coming up.
We're such good friends that we're not positive if I'm a kid guy or not.
Well, I would, because when I used to live here, I would run into you around town, you and your lovely wife.
Usually brunches around La Brea.
Yeah, brunches around La Brea. We lived in the same neighborhood. I did not have a child at the time. And I don't know. I guess in my head, maybe I thought like you would just follow the same
like
life progression
same
as me.
As
like eventually, like I would have a kid, and then well, obviously, if I did, then he had to.
The last time I saw him, he didn't.
Yeah.
I have one now.
So yeah, transitive property. Yeah, it only makes sense. But it's probably good that you don't.
Right. Oh, yeah, I think it might be too. At this
no,
point.
But you should. But yeah, but you do get high. I could not. There are people who probably still smoke weed and have kids. But
I think there's a lot of weed dads out there,
yeah,
especially
there probably are.
In California.
Yeah,
I
there
feel
you
like,
go.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have given it up. I just sort of like never really. I did, you know, in college and stuff. But I never really. That was the other thing. I was like, when Goldstein said I should do the podcast. I had only listened to the Horatio episode, and I thought, is this a common misconception
that people think you have to
get high on the podcast?
Yeah, I
or
think
did
so.
It start that way, or what?
No, it's sort of just I really like the name, and that was what the podcast was going to be. Was,
yeah.
Originally, it was going to be me getting high with a guest and then taking super strong stances on
right.
something, like
yeah.
high and mighty. And then I was like, I don't want to do that
yeah.
every week. And then I was like, well, what do I want to do? I'm like, well, whatever I want. So
yeah.
I backed off any semblance of a fucking.
Because I would be happy to get high with you sometime, like once every 2 years, like with a lot of planning and hey, no responsibilities.
We could do that. You can look at my desk right now. My wife's out of town, so I'm in the middle of doing some serious
spring cleaning. Yeah, but I don't know that I would on air. I don't know. It makes sense.
If you're not a weed smoker, it is not cool to have a microphone in front of you.
There you go. Okay.
I am a avid weed smoker and often have microphones there in front of me and still don't like the combination.
Well, you know, we all hate ourselves for different reasons.
And speaking of hating ourselves, that's a great topic to transition to our that's a great opportunity to transition to our topic, which is game shows.
Yes.
Game shows.
How are my levels?
The levels look good, I think. Okay. I'm shouting and I think they're working.
All right, good.
All right, I just wanted to confirm. So Golditch, when we were talking back and forth, you said in an email, I was like, oh yeah, you're going to be in town. Let's do a podcast. You said in the email, I am very boring.
Yeah.
And I said, no way. What things are you interested in? And you sent me an email and I was like, he is very boring.
Well, you asked me like, for instance, like what TV shows and movies am I into?
Yeah.
And like the answer is very boring, which is like, cause first of all, I don't like any comic book or, sci-fi or fantasy movies.
Okay.
So like I don't like any of or TV shows. So any of like the cool shit that people watch, like Game of Thrones, like
Westworld,
not into. You know. And so like when people ask, so like, well, what TV shows do you watch? It's like, I don't know, like Breaking Bad, The Wire, Mad Men. Those are like good TV shows, right?
We could have talked about Entourage.
But you know, I like comp, but I don't. So like, it eliminates like a large swath of like what like people talk about. You know, I don't know, what movies do I like? I don't know. I watch whatever screeners they send me. You know,
whatever I can watch from home. Yeah.
You know.
Hell or High Water?
I did watch that. I liked it.
Yeah, that was like the first Guild screener.
But like, you know, what movies? I don't know. I liked Trainwreck. We're not going to talk about that for an hour. That's like
that would be really funny to talk about Trainwreck today.
Yeah.
It's like not far enough in the past. It's not big enough of a movie. It's not recent enough. And we just kind of be like, yeah, I love Schumer.
Yeah, she's great. It's a great movie.
LeBron is a better actor than a lot of guys I know.
I know, right? Yeah. But... so like I just started throwing things out there.
Yeah, and you randomly. I also have written on a bunch of game shows.
Oh, there we go.
That's what you said.
I didn't even know. Yeah, I said that.
You said that, and then I was like, well, I've hosted three or four game shows and been on one.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm excited to talk about this.
Right.
Because I've always, so I have gone back and forth between like comedy writing jobs and then game show writing jobs,
which is like the New York writer run. Like
You
have to jump on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire just to get in the Guild.
Yeah, that was like actually Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was my first ever. I got hired as a researcher there. That was my first game show job.
My first game show that I was ever on was also an Embassy Row produced.
What was that?
That was I was on a game show called Studio 7, which was like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but they lived together.
Pat Kiernan host that?
Yes.
Yes.
I was a contestant on that when I was 22.
I feel like that was one where it was like I could have worked on it, but I didn't. But I worked on another Pat Kiernan hosted game show called
Pop Culture
World Series
Trivia.
Of Pop Culture.
World Series of Pop Culture. Yeah.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That was my first. I was a researcher there for 3 seasons. Right? Who Wants to Be
Which means you just like
fact check the questions. Yeah, and this was like back in the day of. You had to have at least one, if you could, like book hard copy source because the internet was, this was like 2003, 2005, and the internet was still considered
like
somewhat unreliable. Like now we all know that like Wikipedia is like the most accurate source pretty much.
Right.
But there used to be a day where like anyone could update Wikipedia and then they wouldn't change it.
Right, because it would be like the people who knew how to use the internet.
Yeah,
people.
I specifically remember once like my friend emailing me like back in the day or something, like a link to the Wikipedia entry for the singer Tiffany. And it was like, she is also known to give the best blowjobs of anybody in the music industry. And they just left it up there for like days. Like nobody like even noticed. It was like a wasteland. So
that
like,
and that was one of your questions for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was 16,000. Yeah. The guy guessed Debbie Gibson. What a fucking idiot. No.
Should have phoned a friend.
But should have, yeah. But so it was like, It was honestly not that hard a job. It was basically like 2 hours of work a day spread out across.
Did you have to ever go to the library?
I did once. Well, there was like an in-house library, like a one-room library of like books in the office.
Did you work out of the Embassy Row offices that were right by Varick?
I was in a couple different offices. One thing that was interesting was, like, for legal reasons, they kept the writers and researchers in one office, and then they kept the production staff in another office because there had to be no chance that writers or researchers, people who work with questions, would ever run into a contestant or, like, casting people.
Right.
By the way, I later worked on several other game shows which had much more lax rules. And
but
like,
I will say, it's crazy how much legal shit goes on behind the scenes of game shows.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because... you know, obviously, like, going back to, like, the quiz show days. Like,
I just rewatched Quiz Show.
I should watch Quiz Show again. I remember it being good when I saw
it. It was really good. And, it holds up. I mean, it's Turturro, so it's awesome.
But, it's like, you know, there's a lot of, legal rules about, like, you know, people, you know, crossing paths and stuff. So, like, we were in a separate office, and it was the researchers and the writers. I did once have to go to, like, one of the New York public libraries. Hello, Arthur. To research some question. I don't remember what it was, but it was like it was sort of one of those things where, there would be these complicated questions, and they'd be a pain in the ass to research, and nobody would want to take them. And then it'd be like, well, you could leave the office and go to the library and pretend like it takes you 4 hours when it takes one, and just fart around.
That was the thing you had to learn as a PA, was like a researcher or whatever. When, as a PA, you learn it's like, you got to stay at your desk and do this, or it's like, hey, can you make a run? You're like, oh, run, that's awful. But you don't know how long the run takes.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I'll walk super slow, pop my headphones in.
So it was a, it was good, you know, nice people. And then the other story I remember from, was one time I had to research a book on, I'd research a story on, or a question on Pilates. Like, someone asked a question, and so I was like,
mid 2000 Pilates.
Yeah,
that's
this
like,
was
that's
like early in the days of Pilates.
Yeah.
So I went into the library to see if there was anything on Pilates, and I looked and I saw there was a book called Pilates, and I was like, what are the chances? And then I removed it and I realized it was called Pirates. It was about pirates, and it was just one letter off, and that blew my mind, that pirates and Pilates are really only one letter difference.
Right, because they're pronounced so differently and mean such different things. That's really,
it's one of those things where this is another one. My wife works in mediation. And I always think I'm seeing things about mediation, but they're really about meditation.
Those words are super similar.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, I saw this article about... no, I didn't.
Yeah, and meditation is so zeitgeisty and du jour.
I know, and mediation is someday, hopefully, knock on Arthur.
We can do it. Like divorced couple mediation, that kind of mediation?
She does all kinds, but like...
conflict.
Yeah, any sort of like conflict resolution, but that's a big one. That is one of those things where if you ask people if they've heard of mediation, the people who are divorced always have.
Yeah. Like, I know what that is. Yeah. And I only know what it is because I'm on episode 4 of Divorced on HBO.
Oh, really?
And I had never heard it before.
Oh.
Yeah.
I swear to God, we've watched the first 3. Now I'll keep going. Yeah, I didn't know
that's
that.
That's really funny. The fourth one they go to on the theater. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to, that makes sense. I'm going to, now we, we're working our way through it.
Oh, that's awesome. Back it up real quick. Were you a fan of game shows growing up?
Oh, my God. Yes. I
feel
like
a lot of like slightly above average intelligent comedy people who are quick witted have a background in like watching Jeopardy with their family.
Loved watching Jeopardy.
That was big in my house.
Yeah. Loved watching, on a sick day, for sure, like stay at home.
Oh, you'd run through the Price is Right.
USA, like, for sure, Price is Right. Like, Press Your Luck.
Press Your Luck was my favorite non-trivia game show on TV.
My favorite, which I later got to work on, but I think my favorite game show growing up was always the $25,000 Pyramid.
Oh,
and I would
love, especially
like the celebrities that they would, like the older reruns they would show with like these celebrities that I didn't even really know, but like it was just, I just, for whatever reason, I love the gameplay of it. Like, it's just a really fun, exciting.
It's a very simple, it's like a party game in the best way. It doesn't have home playability. That's the problem. You can play along.
No, it's very hard.
Ability.
Yeah. But I did love Price is Right, Press Your Luck, Jeopardy. I loved game shows growing up. Always, like, I feel like I definitely tried out in high school for, like the version of Wheel of Fortune where you go on with your teacher, which is super lame.
Yeah, that's...
I think I tried out not knowing that I would have to like pick a teacher to go on with, and like I probably like if they, it's one of those things where
if they chose you, you'd
be chose
like,
you,
I guess
got,
I, you
gotta
do
it, and then you're the fucking kid who went on Wheel of Fortune with your teacher, which you never really lived down.
I always wanted to be on Jeopardy. I always would crush Jeopardy at home.
Yeah.
And like my dad, like that would be the only thing we could have on during dinner. But ideally, we would finish dinner and stay at the dinner table, spin the TV around, yeah. and then watch Jeopardy. And then sometimes, you know, back yeah. to back, like Trebek and Sajak. So sometimes yeah. we'd roll through to.
I've never really stopped trying to get on Jeopardy. I've taken the online test multiple times to try to get on. It's funny that I've never been on. You've been on a game show. I've never been on. I tried out for this sports game show in college called 2 Minute Drill, the okay. CSPN game show.
I remember that.
And I remember like taking the test and I compared my answers with the guy next to me, and we literally went through every question, and he got one more question right than me, and he made it to the next round of the audition, and I didn't, and I was so mad. And it, yeah, but
I feel like they avoid people who actually are funny and interesting.
Maybe
and,
it does seem
at this
like
moment
that.
I'm realizing yeah. I have had some comedy and peers beyond game shows.
I know,
I feel
right?
bad. That means you're not.
No,
funny.
Yeah, you're the worst of that group, but you're the best of the game show group.
You're the funniest
but,
game show guy.
What's it called? But I've tried out so hard to be on game shows, and it's weird that I've never been. But I've ended up working for a bunch, but I'm still kind of, it's weird even after having worked for them that I'm still a little bit resentful. But the other thing about game shows is some of them, they don't want you to be too good at it, which is weird.
Right.
Like my brother tried out for The Weakest Link before he, was on the air. For whatever reason, they had auditions in Philadelphia where we were from, and he didn't get picked, and he was like, I don't understand, I got every question right, why didn't I get picked? And then you watch the show and you realize, like, oh, now they want idiots on purpose.
Because that's like the
that
funny.
That makes it
yeah.
exciting.
Yeah, yeah. And then yeah. I think nowadays they want viral capabilities at all times. It's like yeah. all the I think a Family Feud comes to mind, by the way. That's another great Sick Day game show favorite. Oh. Very
yeah,
play along ability.
Now that I think about it, the Feud maybe might have been my favorite to watch over Pyramid.
Yeah. Because the Feud was like almost like a sketch show.
Yeah, like, it really is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was like a variety show. There was like monologue. There's like yeah. a big group scene.
Yeah.
And now I think the reason I brought it up is I think that Steve Harvey is like actively pursuing the cheeky answer, where it's like
yeah.
things you have in your nightstand drawer.
Right.
It's like things you keep in your ass on flights. It's like they just want someone to say something
yeah.
dirty that they can
well, you,
cut
and,
together.
And you can't just kiss random women on the lips anymore. Like
and
Richard
that's
Dawson.
By the way, I want to talk about that. I have to fucking crush my nuts on the subway, and I can't kiss strangers on the lips anymore. Is Artie doing a deep dive on your genitals?
He really is. He's doing a Richard Dawson
on
my genitals.
Oh, there's clearly a spilled piece of granola. He'll track
really?
It down. Yeah, don't worry about
all
it.
All right, okay, that's fine.
He'll find it.
But
you unzipped? Okay.
That was Family Feud's a good one. I feel like I had a good Family Feud story, but I don't. I remember. One time I was watching this is so random. Like these are just like memories you have as a kid. But like I was watching an old Family Feud, and it was like I don't even remember what the question was. Like names an appliance you don't want to leave on in your house, and someone says coffee pot, and Richard Dawson goes coffee pot. And now, like, for whatever reason, anytime I say coffee pot, I
say like
coffee pot. Like, I just say it like that because of this, like, one Family Feud I watched, like, 20 years ago.
All right, I'll play along. I have one burned in my head game show memory. Is I must have been, like, 10 watching Wheel of Fortune with my grandma. And the puzzle said blank O-R-R-E-S-T. Space GUMP. It said Arist
okay.
Gump.
Okay.
And it said, proper noun or people, place, or thing, whatever. And the woman buzzes in. There's one letter left. And you could see that it's like an elderly black woman and two, like, fat, white, 40-year-old balding dudes. And they're, like, salivating. And the woman's like, I'd like to solve the puzzle. And I remember because she had, like, a southern accent. She's like, Marist Gump. And the two dudes were like, oh, I feel awful that this is how I'm winning. The sweet old lady is just like, Marist Gump.
I mean, that would have 100 million hits today.
Right,
right?
Exactly.
On YouTube,
I bet you
was,
can track
you
it down.
You could probably track yeah. down Marist Gump. You know, now you're reminding me, I completely forgot about this, but one of my first ever stand-up jokes was about this other family feud that I saw, where the question was, besides the bird, name something you'd find in a bird cage, and the woman just goes, how about the bird? Woo! Woo! And people just start, they started like clapping as if like her family was, as if they were just like, if they rooted hard enough for what was,
you know,
obviously
that was a segment
wrong,
producer who prepped them. Now from behind the scenes point of view,
you must clap even no matter how idiotic. If you, the person
after your answer, don't even think about it. Just start cheering and clapping always.
It was, I was like literally like, my, you know, when in your early days of doing stand up, you're basically just repeating funny things that you saw, and that was like one of them.
My earliest attempts at stand up were like very deep, just like Jean-Claude Van Damme conversations, and I was like, oh man, I wish podcasting was around. That's the way to get these opinions out. I have 90 minutes on Van Damme.
Yeah, well, I'm not the guest for that.
No,
but,
don't worry. What other game shows had you worked on?
Okay, so
almost always as a writer, right? Writing. Questions or writing banter for
Millionaire was everything else was so I was a researcher on Millionaire for three and that what happened was they after my one first season there they were like like I did a good job and they were like we're gonna hopefully be able to hire you as a writer, like just sit tight. And then they were like, any writing position opens up, like, you're going to get it. And then they were like, we're reducing the number of writers from 7 to 4. And I was like, okay. And then I had to stay there for 2 more years as a researcher, which was kind of a bummer, but it was a good gig. And then I got a job researching on this other sports game show called Stump the Schwab.
I remember Stump the Schwab, of course.
Because what happened was they had a season where there were a lot of fuck-ups. Like, something happened where, and I don't want to blame, I don't know whose fault it was, but they the researchers that they hired were not up to snuff. And
was
so,
this for Stump or for?
For Stump the Schwab. Okay. And so, like, they reached out to, like, Millionaire, with like, professional researchers of, like, because what happened was, like, as an example, they'd be like, the question would be, like, well, who's the only baseball team that wears blue hats? And then I don't know, the Marlins or whatever.
Yeah.
And then
someone would be like, "Well, what about the Expos?"
Yeah. So and then like, but the person who was researching would just put like 3 pictures of Marlins hats that were blue, but they wouldn't prove that there weren't any other teams that wore blue hats. So like, this show is getting all these lawsuits of like people like suing and being like, "What the fuck? I said Expos," and like, you know. So and so they brought in somebody like after the season was already over. They brought me in to basically just like catch all these mistakes that like had been made. And like, just so they could like prevent like any future damage. I hope it's okay that I'm talking about this like 12 years later.
I think everyone's so. Gonna be okay, with the exception of Schwab. He's pissed.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he's pissed about everything. But I did like a good enough job that I think because of that, the next season of Schwab, I asked to be hired as a writer, and they hired me as a writer, which was like, for me, it was like literally my first writing job. It was the most fun. It was I was the only person there, stupidly on my own part. Everybody else there was like working on their like spec scripts.
Yeah.
And I was like super into like sports trivia. So I was just like taking the job like really seriously. Like, guys, we get to write sports trivia questions. Really? Can you believe it?
And that is like, in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
It's like writing sports and a little comedy.
Everyone else was like, I'm going to write one question and then like spend the rest of the day like trying to get staffed on The Office. And it's like, imagine if like I had had that kind of drive. Like,
I think about that like, oh, what if I worked hard for the last 10
years? Right, the light did eventually click on for me, but not till several years later. But
that's a big thing to get that first.
Yeah,
New
it was
York
also
writing
my first writing job, and it was there was fun stuff about it. And
mine was the Spike TV Video Game Awards.
Oh, there you
Chris DeLuca hired me.
Oh, nice, love Chris.
If we want to continue to play,
very specific geography.
New York, 35 plus,
almost Jewish geography. The cool thing about Stump the Schwab was obviously the late great Stuart Scott was the host,
right?
Yeah, and I one of my jobs in addition to writing was I would go in and prep him on pronunciations. So like he would be like, he was one of those dudes. He was like super nice. I mean, but he was one of those dudes who like you'd knock on his door and be like, come in, and then he'd be just shirtless, like, and he would be like practicing. He was also, I just remember he would be practicing his golf swing, but like not with a club. Like he'd be doing that thing where you like rotate your hips and you're like doing it with your hands, like pretending. And then he would.
This is like an ESPN promo.
Yeah. It's exactly like that because he would just go, now I was talking to Fred Couples and he said what I need to do. And they would start like saying like, you know, like just name dropping, like as if we were in the middle of a conversation
about
famous golfers that we had met.
And you're like, it's pronounced.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nomar Garcia Pera.
Yeah. I'd be like, I'm just here to do my job, sir. And the Schwab was like this big, like he was actually a professional researcher. He was like the original researcher at ESPN. He was like this big, scary dude who was like a sports encyclopedia. And so the contestants would.
I love pre-technology. There was a guy when I worked at VH1, I'll just name drop him now, Paul Tonelli, who was like the VH1 researcher. And all that meant was that like you knew the most. And that was like pre-internet, it would be like, who knows the most about music? It's like, that guy, cool, put him on staff.
Yeah, he says it's true. Trust him. Yeah.
No, you go by and be like, hey, did Chibo Motto ever have a song?
Yeah. I mean, there's a guy like that. There's still a use for those people. Like there's a guy at the Daily Show, I guess, who has like an encyclopedic memory of like clips or whatever, but which like still comes in handy because like I mean I guess you there's a database where you can search, but like to know the right clip,
there is like an element of adding the human ability of taste, or of like, you know, of like, no, the angle that needs to be right in that.
But the Schwab got so mad at one time he lost on a question that I had written about it was like, what famous trophy was once smashed with a sledgehammer by a Maori tribesman? And he guessed the World Cup, and it was the America's Cup. And then he lost because of that, and he started storming around the studio going, it's not a fucking geography show. He was really mad. And I was like, it was about the America's Cup. It's not geography. But he was pretty mad. But he was a scary dude, but also a nice guy. He was like one of these dudes who would get super riled up, like on camera. Like he would get super intense and competitive about the show, but in person was like very nice.
Those are the best guys.
Yeah, I know.
Those guys who can turn it on for a sporting event or a sport trivia event.
Exactly.
I hosted a game show called The Substitute on MTV 40 episodes, which was pretty much cash cab in a high school classroom.
Right.
I would pretend to be a substitute teacher, then I'd reveal that there was a $5,000 prize and the kids would compete in trivia. And originally it was going to be like school trivia.
Right.
But it got so MTV'd up that it became like people like weren't able to answer like what planet is closest to the sun. Like high school students were like, no idea. And these were all seniors because they had to be 18.
Was it like pop culture trivia?
It ended up becoming like a mix of pop culture and that. And it's like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
It was a good show. I think people enjoyed it, but it was just such like it was just so depressing to be like having like 30-year-old white guys write questions for like 18-year-old like city students is like the most like they're like they don't even know who Steven Tyler is. It's like, why would they?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like
they shouldn't.
Right? Who cares?
Everything he's done since they've been alive is.
And then
they
say things like, well, he hosts American Idol. I'm like, these are still kids. They don't fucking watch anything
that. That's
crazy. They don't watch anything we watch. They watch fucking phone videos of Minecraft.
Right, that is weird. Yeah, well, you should have asked questions about that.
And so we had that was Embassy Row as well. So that was the guys behind Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So we had like, I think a lot of the same staff. Like we had like a lot. We had a game show lawyer, which I think is the coolest title you can have as a job. Yeah.
Did the kids know that they were on a show, or were they
season
really...
two? They knew they were on a show. Season one, they thought they were going to be on a show about student life. So that way, that's why they had to be vetted.
Right.
And then they realized, like by I guess focus grouping or whatever, MTV was like, the viewers at home don't care if it's a surprise. Yeah. It's more about the fun of. So then they built a set for season two, which made the job like 10 times easier. We didn't have to go to a high school and
That's what happened with Cash Cab, I think, eventually. I worked on Cash Cab, but I was...
Oh, that just reminded me, dude. Yeah. I can't believe this hasn't gone. I was on Cash Cab as well.
You were on Cash Cab?
Yeah.
Whoa. By yourself or with Pete? Or with
my buddy Justin Tyler, who you probably know as well.
Yeah. I don't know him.
Oh, okay.
But I know... You know Stucky and Murray, though, right?
Of
they were
course.
On Cash Cab, yeah. But here's the thing about Cash Cab, right? So I wrote questions for Cash Cab, but I was so far removed from the production. I literally never even saw the cab. I was in an office.
That's awesome. How often
questions.
How they do it with the
yeah,
writers.
Yeah, I have no idea what went down on that show as far as the production of it.
I've got a good angle on that. I can talk about.
Okay,
that.
Good. Yeah. Let's talk about it. Because I know that. Did you know you were going to be on? You knew you were going to be on something. What was the? What was
all right. So the thing that they did was they told us that we're going to do some we submitted for some show called My New York.
Yeah.
Where you show people around your version of New York.
Yes.
But I knew the person who was casting it, and they were this is Cash Cab.
Yeah.
So you had to answer trivia questions and then talk about your favorite things in New York and prove that you had a personality or whatever.
Yeah.
Then on that day, they're all right, the 15-pass van is – oh, fuck. Oh, what's that? Oh, no. The van broke down. Do me a favor. Jump in a cab, get in there, tell them you're going to whatever, Fry Electronics, whatever the fucking tour thing was.
Yeah.
And we'll meet you down there.
But you knew that...
I knew what was coming was the Cash Cab.
Yeah.
But I knew, I also know game shows, and I know they got to get people to...
Yeah.
They got to screen people. Because I'd assume it was real for a long time until they were we're wasting so much time picking up people who don't speak English, don't want to be on camera.
I don't know if the first season was real or not. I know that from very early on, they would tell you were on a show, but if you had sort of half a brain, or if you were from New York, you could kind of figure it out.
Right.
I think.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
Did you win money?
No. And that's the thing. Me and my buddy Justin, former guest on High and Mighty on the Dead Dads episode, we watched I DVR'd 20 hours of the show, and we just spent one afternoon watching it, and we're crushing questions.
Yeah.
Just annihilating it. We're oh shit, we're going to actually win money. And we pretty much pre-spent the money. We were we were dude, $1,600 split between the two of us? That's pretty dope. Let's assume we get $1,600. We get in there, and then we had a friend on standby who was hey, can you be at your computer? Because we're going to be on Cash Cab, but we don't know that. But you're our friend we can call. We didn't get any money. And they really do drop you off and don't tell you.
Did you crack under pressure? Were they harder questions?
They were surprisingly harder questions. Yeah. And they were a couple of I think we got out on the last question I remember where we said Sambuca, but the answer was Ouzo.
Well,
which is
tough.
Two different licorice flavored liquors.
Yeah. Yeah. Although the fact that you got out on a drinking question is.
Yeah, that's there's an irony.
Yeah. The thing I heard about Cash Cab, and I can't confirm or deny whether this is true, but this was after I stopped working there. They stopped producing new episodes of the show because no matter how many times they ran them, the reruns would get the same exact ratings as the new episodes. People just liked watching it, even if they already knew the answers, which is so weird.
That's such a weird thing,
but,
watching game shows.
But yeah.
Artie, hold on one second. Artie, leave Matt's crotch alone.
There you go. But he really likes it. It's fine. Yeah.
It's a good spot for warmth.
Yeah. He's coming right back.
Yeah.
It's fine. So that was what I heard about Cash Cab. I wrote questions there for a couple seasons, but I have no idea what actually went into the filming or the cameras.
I have no
and the
idea.
Cab.
Yeah. I have no idea. I could imagine being a producer on that show, the kind of shit you have to deal with.
I know.
That's such a fun, that fake layers that fake, you're on a fake game show to get you on a real game show.
I know. So you've been on two game shows then.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Isn't
it
funny? I've totally... I was just looking today because I knew we were going to talk about this, and I was oh my God, I forgot I even worked on that. I used to be... It's sort of my camp count. I used to remember the order of my, teachers from every year or, my camp counselors. And, it's one thing because, that was 20 years ago. These are things that are, less than 10 years ago, and I used to be able to remember all the order of, all the shows I've worked on, but now I've worked on so many I literally can't even remember the order, which is...
And I always remember hearing old actors or old people being oh, fuck, what was the name of that? I'm how do you forget a TV show?
How did you forget fucking Godfather Part 2?
And now
I
forgot.
Now I understand, yeah.
Someone one time was I saw you in something, and I was what was it? And they were trying to describe it to me, and I just couldn't figure out what they were talking about.
No, that seems crazy, yeah, especially when it's something that is iconic or important to you.
Right. Yeah. They were hey, yeah, I saw you in this. I was oh, I don't remember. They're how do you not remember being... I'm That was like 3 years ago, possibly. And yeah. I've had done 100 things since then, or 10.
What else have you hosted?
I also hosted a game show called Hair Jacked for True TV for one season, okay. Which was cash cab in a salon.
All right. This was, by the way, people should know there was a period of
ambush game
time,
show. Yeah.
Where cash cab in a blank. Was what everybody wanted to do. And
there
so
was,
like,
it was like short. Yeah. It was like 5 years after Daily Show, but for blank, which
right.
was another thing everyone wanted to do.
Oh yeah, but
the Daily Show for sports is a pitch everyone has been talking.
Cash
about.
Cab was a surprisingly huge success. Like
and
people don't remember.
Cheap,
like it won Emmys. Like it was you know not yeah cheap and like you know it was so like everyone was trying to replicate.
Like
cash
people
cab,
were coming to New York hoping to. Hail the cash cab.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, there. I remember at times, like, you know, out-of-town friends being like, wouldn't it be crazy if we got in the cash cab?
Yeah,
right
and
now?
You'd be like, you'd know. They'd be telling you to show them Fry's Electronics.
Right, exactly. I'm a PA on Best Week Ever. I think I know how TV works.
I worked on that, too.
Look at that. Another little overlap.
Not a game show. Can't talk
Not
about
a game
it.
Show. Yeah. Moving on. No. Power through. Tangents
That'll
are
be
bullshit.
For the panel, comedian panel clip shows.
I wanted to do an episode of this podcast, and maybe I'll do it next time I come to New York. I wanted to do like a round Viacom round table. Like have like you, DeLuca, Stucky, and Murray, and have like six people I know that I've worked with for like over the span of a decade. It's
this
stupid.
Is literally we're getting into the territory of my podcast with Andrew where it's the only people that listen to it are people that we know personally and have worked with, and they're the only people that like
also
it.
Also the only guests you have.
yeah, basically. But
that's who's left in New York.
That's
if they're
really
in,
is.
If
yeah,
you're still friends
thing.
With them, they're in their
no,
mid-30s.
There's nobody left. Yeah. They're all, most of them have moved out to Jersey at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't remember that.
No one remembers that. This was like 4 years ago on True TV when they were like just putting out all kinds of programming.
Yeah.
Did like 12 or 16 episodes. No one ever watched it. It was such a weird thing.
Right.
They had me dressed so weirdly on that show. It was so upsetting.
Yeah.
But again, like any other of these TV jobs, it's like the producers and the writers were like funny, cool people who were making like striving to make good TV. But we all ended up working on Hair Jacked together.
The thing that people, if you don't know, is like, I mean, the job I have now, I'm very lucky. It's both, I think, a good show, and also I really love going into work every day.
Yeah.
But it's rare you get both of those. Sometimes you work on a really good show where the people are assholes, and sometimes you work on a show where you make some great friends, and it's the most fun,
and
the show is shitty.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's, you know, it's like anyone else's job. But, you know, but I mean, like, yeah, it can be really fun. And some of the, I mean, and that's the thing, like something like cash cab, like it's cool to say I worked on it, but honestly it was like very much like an office job where I'm just like sitting in a cubicle writing questions for 8 hours and like punching a clock.
Yeah, you're not like running around on set with like with like a walkie
and talkie. I don't necessarily like being on set. I'm actually I don't like standing for long periods of time. I prefer to be seated.
Not interesting.
I'm mad cool. I like to have my lunch at a regular time, the same time every day. I like my coffee at the same time. No, but
what is your office coffee schedule? I think once you get to be a certain age, you have like coffee.
We have a thing called the at Seth Meyers called the Coffee Clatch, which is they'd be mad if I was revealing this, but there are four writers. We have four shows a week, and Monday through Thursday, and each of those days at 2 p.m., we one person pays for coffee for the group. So we have an afternoon coffee run to Blue Bottle in Rockefeller Center, which I recently found out that three of the four people in the Coffee Clatch do not like. But Blue Bottle.
Blue Bottle
coffee.
Is great. That's
I like
one
it.
We have it down here on.
Yeah, but we've continued with it just because nobody has just feels like changing it. It's just there's this momentum,
and everyone knows the standing order. It's
and
like
the office,
one coconut milk latte for Lutz.
Exactly. Yeah, and as much as the I love the show, everything about the show, the office coffee situation is not the free coffee is not it's not up to snuff for me. So
what would it be like for the four of you guys to just buy like a Ninja, one of those things that makes everything? You know what I
we
mean?
Should.
It would probably even out.
At one point there was a free Keurig. I don't know. You know, I really do like a good drip coffee, but I would do it from like Dunkin' Donuts. I think Dunkin' Donuts is just too far. It's just, you know, you have a limited amount of time during the day. Blue Bottle's right down the
And in New York City, it's like if you want Dunkin' Donuts, you probably have to walk past three places selling coffee to get there.
There
and
it's you go.
Like, this is a waste.
Yeah.
I'm walking past at least, maybe not mom and pop owned business, but ISIS owned businesses that I could be supporting.
ISIS, I mean, say what you want. They make good coffee.
Solid coffee.
You know?
Good drip.
Yeah.
What is your coffee order?
I like drip coffee. Yeah. I have like 2 to 3 cups of French press coffee in the morning. My wife and I make a large French press that we split and have it like 7:30. And then in the afternoon, I order drip coffee and I put a little bit of milk in it. No sugar.
That's an adult move.
Even the milk is like, so I will have black coffee. I prefer a little bit of milk, but if I have to, I'll drink black coffee.
Yeah. I drink exclusively iced coffee.
Oh, really?
Even when I lived in New York City.
Oh, wow.
And I would have to, like, I think I've said this on the podcast before, but, like, come winter months, I'd have to switch my bodegas that I'd get, because I knew, like, in my little neighborhood, I'd be like, those three places don't carry iced coffee.
They stopped making iced coffee.
Yeah, I got one place to keep making it.
That's
I was like,
great.
I'll come and buy it every day.
Nice.
And
you had
like,
to
okay.
bargain with them. Yeah. I do like iced coffee in the summer or, you know, out here in LA or, you know, sometimes. If I'm driving, I prefer an iced coffee.
Lean back with a hot.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. End up like that lady from McDonald's who sued them.
That is always in my head when people have coffee in a car.
Right?
The McDonald's lady.
The McDonald's lady who sued. That's like one of those things where it was a big story for like 6 months.
Right. And I have a distinct memory of my dad. My dad was kind of a monster, but in a fun way too. And I remember him saying like, she's suing because she spilled hot coffee all over her legs and her pussy. No one's going to go there. No, she's 70. You know, like she was an older woman. Like, and my dad was like, no one gives a fuck about going there.
Yeah.
I'm like, Dad, I think if you can like just sue McDonald's.
How old are you at the time?
I must have been young. I would have been, that would have been 20 years ago, right?
Right, yeah.
I would have been 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And my dad casually said pussy to me my whole life.
There you go.
But I was like, Dad, no, I remember being like, McDonald's has the money. Sue him. I remember thinking like, as a kid, like, fuck McDonald's.
I would love to hear your dad's take on the Lorena Bobbitt case. I'm sure he had one. Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if like Trump was not becoming president and we could just spend the next, you know, 4 years just making jokes about like the lady who spilled like whatever the next version of like the lady who spilled coffee on her crotch or like the, you know,
there's always a temper. Now everything is tempered like, by like fuck, but for real things are bad.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating. It's like, guys, have anyone watched Fleabag on Amazon? It's fucking hysterical. Yeah, well, I can't because America's in the toilet. You know, like, all right, well,
I know,
catch you later.
Yeah. What, like, you know, does nobody want to hear my jokes about the airport on Twitter? Like, do I really? Really? Not now? When? Yeah.
I'm sitting on a really good cuck joke. When can I say this?
I know,
it's not
right?
A
yeah,
dick
yeah,
thing
yeah.
to say. And then I also hosted a game show called, look at that gear shift back. That's why I host.
Yeah.
I also hosted a game show called Santa's in the Barn for True TV recently, which was America's Next Top Model, but for Santa Claus.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was
you
the
are
last
the
holiday
guy to
season.
Host that. Yeah.
I am not the guy. Like, it's so funny. Like, they're like, no jokes. They're like, oh, no, it's got to be serious. It's got to be heartfelt. I'm like, guys, you cast a improviser comedian. I can't memorize lines and I can't be serious.
They were like, we cast you for the Santa
they
beard.
Can't because you're fat and okay.
Yeah.
Every time I told someone I was hosting a Santa Claus show, they were like, are you Santa Claus? And I'm like, no.
If they wanted someone who was had a beard and was chubby and did not, and was, they could, you know, Richard Karn, I'm sure he's available, right?
He makes sense,
he
makes,
he's hosted game shows.
They wanted me, and then I went out there and did, it was a fun job, but I would have to do the things like at the dinner table, ask him, do you think anyone crossed you today during, you know, like I would have to ask like, exclusively, and like I worked with these producers who I'll leave their name out, though I guess you could do a little light Googling. They had done a lot of those kind of like competition game shows, and they were like, they knew how to get tears out of people and stuff, which is crazy.
Wait, I have a question. Was it like played straight but for laughs, or was it played straight?
They had the tone of the thing never made sense.
Really?
I was like, I was never allowed to be like, what is this fucking show? It's like there's like dog sled races. There's like cookie eating and milk chugging competitions. It was like wrapping gifts, you know,
has
building
this aired yet?
Oh, it aired 8 hour long episodes in the holiday season of 2015.
Wow.
Yeah. I could not. the tone of the show was so wrong. Like, it was always like, ah, it's a little too jokey. I'm like, I'm talking to eight old men yeah. with beards who are like waddling. And like also making guys who want to, or guys and gals who want to be Santa Claus compete. Most of them were like 70-year-old men, and they were like yeah. blue in the face doing like physical events. Like, we had like two medics on set. Oh, it was terrifying.
Yeah, that's
I was like, someone check on yeah. Carl. He looks like he's going to fucking boot.
Yeah. Thankfully, I've never had any like, I was thinking about, because I've had other jobs where I had to watch, I had to like watch a lot of cable TV shows and then like write jokes about them. I knew that that had to be, because I, like 2015, because it had to be after I worked, because otherwise I definitely would have heard of it. If I, because I would have been like, okay, Matt, your assignment is to watch Santa's in the Barn.
Yeah. You're, I'm having yeah. like, I'm having like heart palpitations flashing back to Best Week Ever, where it's like, can you watch eight episodes of Real Housewives and log all the times that someone does this? And I'm like,
yeah.
Really?
Can I watch it?
I got like, I got into so much good TV because of that job, of like, everyone on staff is watching Lost. I'm like, what's the show Lost? They're like, when I got hired, they're like, oh, yeah. it's in season two. Here, here's season one on beta. You know, like,
yeah.
we've DVR'd all, and so, and I would just watch, and I caught up on Lost, but then I'd also watch all these cable shows. I was yeah. into Top Chef and Top Model, like, I had to know, and I'm like, my life is fucking garbage. I'm working on TV all day and then going home at night and watching TV.
Yeah, I'm very glad that I don't have to do that. So, right. I actually love, it's funny you mentioned Top Chef. Top Chef is the one, is one of, like, two reality shows I actually do. My wife and I watch every season. We've seen every single one.
Top
like,
Chef and Top, not Top Model, what was the Heidi Klum one?
Oh,
the designer one?
Yeah.
I can't
Fashion, think. Runway. Project Runway.
Project Runway. Yeah. Project Runway and Top Chef lasted about 7 to 8 seasons each for me and my wife. We yeah. did like, we watched those religiously.
You need those shows that you can watch.
But they fell off hard, yeah. I thought. Yeah.
I have to.
It's not Top Chef. This is Top Scallop. I always like you talk about saying coffee pot.
Do you
anytime
think that...
someone says scallop, I have a hard time going. It's not Top Scallop. It's Top Chef from Fabio or Fabrizio, whatever his name was.
And then, at what percentage of the time do people know what you're talking about? At what percentage of the what did you say?
You'd be surprised. Like 20% of the time, people do know what yeah. I'm talking about. It was like yeah. That show was big enough for a long time, especially amongst the people I hang out with and make jokes like that.
One time at a wedding, I was standing with my brother and we were talking to this girl, and he goes she starts saying a dream she had the night before about the wedding. She was like, I had a dream that like this happened today at the wedding. And I just go, I had a dream that a hamburger was eating me, which is a Seinfeld joke.
Yeah, yeah.
And I basically did it for the benefit of my brother, and he starts dying laughing, and then this girl's like, what?
And then you have to explain
and
it.
And I have to explain it, and then it gets less funny, but it's getting more funny to him because
yeah.
I'm struggling to explain it, and it's just one of those things where it's like, I put it out there.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. People are always like, oh, these douchey dudes were just standing around quoting Step Brothers. I was like, that's what I did for
yeah.
like 10 years.
Yeah. I have two brothers, and they both are big Step Brothers. I've seen it once or twice. I like it, but they...
How old are your brothers?
They're younger.
You're the oldest of three
boys?
I'm
the oldest of three, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Me
and they
too.
Quote it to each other. Oh, really?
Yeah.
We could have talked about that. I can't believe we've been fucking wasting our time talking about game
all right,
shows.
I'll just delete all this.
Okay, good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So they look up to me as a role model, and...
That is not true in my...
No, not at all.
Are your brothers funny?
Yes.
Are they funnier than you?
No.
Do
no.
they think so?
No. They're both very funny to me. I think they're funny to other people. They do make me laugh, like, harder than anybody. Like,
you're friends with, like, I always like to say, like, I'm yeah. friends with objectively some of the funniest people.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
that America agrees are hysterical. Yes. And I still think my brothers crack me up more than.
Yeah. My brothers, and then to a certain extent, like, my college friends who are, like, you know, not professional comedians. I mean, it's just. The amount of time that you spend with somebody, and then the level of like the depth of the jokes you have, and just like being able to text someone. I mean, this is horrible, but like my brother and I have like a running thing where like every time a celebrity or a famous person dies, we have to be the first one to text the other one that that person died. And it's just like, for whatever reason, it's running. It's not even a joke. It's just like a thing. I don't know why. It's just it's this thing that we do that we enjoy. It's terrible.
I have like a long-running group text with my two brothers, and I'll sometimes get super baked and just scroll through and laugh, filled with GIFs and just awful things and like bouncing complaints about our mom back and forth, like just like older brother shit.
Yeah.
What was the next game show for you? What else have you worked on?
Let's see. I mean, let's see. I worked on a couple that were not too exciting. World Series of Pop Culture was, I mean, fun. Probably the best, I worked on a game show called The Chase for GSN that was actually a good show, but I don't think a lot of people watched it.
Nope.
The most fun was, I think it was the last game show I got to work on, was I did get to work on The Pyramid. Not the one that's on now, the primetime one, but it was for Game Show Network.
Uh-huh.
It was hosted by this guy named Mike Richards, who I think also...
Kramer?
Yeah, Kramer, yeah.
This was post-Caroline
Sun. It was the... it was a very inappropriate...
It was an edgy game show, to say the least.
The top category of the pyramid is just racial slurs. It was super fun and great group of people. And probably the most fun part was I got to be not just a writer on the show, but I got to be the judge who would ding the bell.
Oh, wow.
And so it was me. It was one other guy. It was me and another guy, and I was the correct answer, and he was the, like, I was the ding, and he was the whoo-hoo.
Oh, that's, you know, where really he, fun. Where and he, you guys was, can, like look at each other and be like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I would do, when they would get a correct answer, I would ding the bell. And then when they would say, given an illegal clue, he would ding the bell. But it was like a lot of pressure. It was like, it was one of those things where, you know how like you see a control room like in a TV or in the movies, and it's very rarely like as exciting as they make it look. But
right.
It's, but this
Money
was
Monster
like,
is coming to mind right
yeah.
now.
This was super exciting because it was like 30 seconds on the clock, like money's at stake, like these people are super into it, and like you're the guy, like, you know.
I will say the energy of shooting a game show is very intense.
It was like, it's one of those things where, you know, when somebody gets it right or when somebody wins the money, like you're genuinely all,
because
like,
they're not winning your money.
No, yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
And,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
they're
yeah.
not taking your money. It's making for good TV, which is your job as a writer or producer on it, or the host. You want it to be good. And it's just exciting to see someone else win money. If you can't win it, it's like if there's no way you could have won it.
And the other thing is like knowing that you sort of structured the show to create the ultimate amount of drama and like you nailed it is like a very rewarding experience. Like when somebody wins the money with like 1 second left on the clock, that means like you did your job
that's
perfectly.
Exactly what
so
you
like knowing is like that's awesome. So
the show substitute I hosted, real quick aside, the final would come down to one student wins $5,000. Or there's a student who was voted by the rest of the class called the People's Champ.
Yeah.
And if they won, the other 19 students split the $5,000.
Oh, wow.
And in my head, like, it would be like $400-something each for the kids. But when the class won, when 19 kids win $400, it's the most I'm getting chills talking about it right now because it is the most exciting room to be in is when 19 kids get $500.
That's so exciting. I know, right? Yeah. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's an insane, like, and for that many winners, they're like, and then it's like there's one kid who almost won 5 Gs because they were the smartest, and no one likes them because they're the smartest kid in class.
The couple fun things about Pyramid. One was one of my other jobs, I would go in and prep the contestants and teach them about all the different like things they could and couldn't say. And I'd be like, the judges will let you say this, the judges will let you say that. But what they didn't know is I was one of the judges. So it was like the whole time it was like this like power of God thing where it's like, you know, where I know that I'm the guy who's deciding, you know, on these things. But then there were a couple of funny things that happened where they had to like edit them out of the show because this is like one was, you know, the first round they get 30 seconds, they have to guess 7 clues right, and one was like it was all celebrities' names. And what happens is people feel this pressure when there's like 2 seconds left on the clock and they just blurt out whatever's in their mind. And so like John Travolta comes up with like 1 second left and this lady just goes, oh, his son just died. And it's like, why would you say that on a fucking like good time game show? Like that's not like that. Is that even if it's is that the first thing you think of? And then the other one was it was like movies. And the movie that came up was The Help. And this guy with 1 second left, as the buzzer just blurts out, this is the black movie.
Oh.
And I think they somehow edited that out in post because,
right.
like, yeah, and also, like, is it really the black movie?
No,
like, first
no.
of all, there are hundreds of. It's not the.
It features black actors.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah,
yeah, it's not like Meet the Blacks.
It's, yeah,
like
it's not like, the Wood.
Right?
No, I'm just. Yeah.
it's not how Stella got
no,
her groove
yeah, yeah,
back.
Yeah. But it's that was those were really, really funny. And then the one category I was always trying to get on in the final round, the final pyramid, which would be like, you know, they name the words, and I always thought it'd be a good category, places you find lint. and I was like, come on, your dryer, your
belly button pockets,
yeah. And then they were like, there's not enough places you find lint that would even be interesting.
You're like, trust me on
trust
this guy
me, there's three, that's enough.
Yeah, someday you'll have your own game
yeah,
show
someday, someday it'll yeah it'll just all be about lint yeah.
Do you ever have like I still, like, when I'm trying to come up with, like, real ideas, still come up with ideas for, like, game shows or an unscripted
oh,
reality
shows. Oh, I have.
Shows.
The problem is, like, every idea has been come up with.
Right.
And, like, I actually once had, like, a friend of mine and I had a pitch meeting at Game Show Network where we had, like, what we thought was a really good idea. I don't even remember what it was about, but we thought we had a really good idea for a game show. And we were like, let's go in and pitch them the idea and see if they'll let us shoot, like, a test pilot.
Yeah.
And so we went in, we pitched them the idea, and they were like, oh, that's a good idea. Have you guys shot a test pilot? It's like, that's why we're here, I thought, you know. And they were like, oh, you know, because like all the ideas are out there, you just
right.
need the wherewithal to,
it just needs
like,
to work
actually
yeah.
shoot it and make it happen. Yeah.
Yeah, game shows have been around forever, and there's just yeah. slight variations always,
right? It's like everybody, I mean, you have two brothers, you probably made up like weird games
oh,
in your house
yeah.
that you would just play
yeah.
and...
or like I was in the Simpsons trivia club and the Rugrats trivia club in junior high, which is like one guy writes 100 questions and
yeah.
on a piece of loose leaf, and you have to answer them.
I was always the guy, like in high school, college, who'd be like hosting like the trivia night at like talent show or
yeah.
whatever. Where
I would be. I did yeah. all like the academic bowls in
yeah.
high school and shit like that. I wanted so badly. Like I love my knowledge of minutia. That's why I don't allow people to look up shit on their phones on this podcast, because I just want to try to remember.
Yeah,
I used to be the guy. Like I always talk about this too, but my brother would like when I was at college, I'd get like my cell phone would ring and I or my dorm room phone and I'd answer and my brother would be like, in Cable Guy, when he, you know, it would be like the most specific, it would be like, what's the name of the actor that was in blank? And I'm like,
yeah.
yes, or like, what, it's the natural disasters are Earthquake and,
yeah.
you know, like it would be like the best. I'd
it's
love
probably good that, it's weird because I have mixed feelings about it because my memory has faded to the point where I now do have to Google a lot of those things.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
And so, like, it's sad that I don't remember that much stuff, but then it maybe is also happy that
yeah.
I'm not.
You don't need that.
Yeah,
much stuff.
I don't. Yeah. So,
but it's weird, like, stuff that came in pre a certain time in your life is just burned. That, you
oh.
know? Like, when you had nothing but the, like, up until I was like 21, when all, like, I could obsess over
yeah.
movies. Like, I could watch Fight Club 12 times.
Right.
You know, and be like, I know it by heart.
Yeah.
I know everything. I've researched every element, any
yeah.
noun I had never heard before, I now know. And
now
like,
you don't even remember that you were in Fight Club.
I know. Now now I watch a movie, and it ends, and I'm like, I look it up on IMDb, and I'm like, I don't even remember the scene this is referencing. And I watch it a half hour ago.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah.
Goldich, thank you so much for
Dude,
coming into
so
the High and Mighty Studios and talking with
it
me.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
So relieved I didn't have to get high.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I mean, I did. I'm glad I didn't have
but you
to.
You did by choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I wasn't beholden to some stupid premise.
Yeah.
What would you like to plug here? I know you
please,
have your own podcast.
Yeah, listen to the Sorry I've Been So Busy podcast. I co-host with Andrew Goldstein, and we talk to people about what they're busy with and
yeah.
what their day is like. It's not that much different.
Than yeah, this. It's a great group of untapped podcast talent.
Yes.
Because that's the not excluding you and Goldstein,
yeah.
who I love, but like you guys have people who are A, not on podcasts
yeah.
normally, or B, it's like, you're asking like guys who are longtime New York
yeah.
City TV producers.
we try to mix it up. Part of the reason is also because a lot of comedians have similar days, and so
yeah.
the idea at one point, you know, when we're like talking about like Take us through your day. And we had like three or four people in a row who were like, you know, great, funny people, but all some variation. It's like, well, I wake up, I get coffee, I walk around, yeah, and then I sort of go to a place and I write. And then, and Andrew was like, we need to get some people with real jobs.
Right.
So we sort of, we did that, and it's been really fun.
I look forward to my episode.
You're in New York, we're absolutely having you on.
Wait.
Yeah.
Also, this episode will come out a week from, it'll be next Thursday.
Okay.
So when does your episode of At Midnight
air? It'll have already aired at that point.
Well, maybe you DVR'd At Midnight. Yeah. Check out Golden Age.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And
watch Late Night with Seth Meyers.
Yeah, please. To see and tweet at Golditch after every sketch or joke you like and ask if it was him that
wrote it. If it was me. And then also please tag it with ideas that you think are better.
Right, please.
That are just quotes from other movies. If you could do that, that would be super helpful.
And what are you on Twitter if people want to tweet at us any game show memories and stuff like that?
At Matt Goldich, MattGoldich.
At Matt Goldich. I'm at John Gabrus, no H's in John or Gabrus. Tweet at us with game show memories,
yes,
or if you've worked on game shows or worked with us on game shows, please,
yeah,
open up the fucking dialogue.
Yeah.
As always, check out my High and Mighty t-shirt store. Rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments. I didn't set this up at the beginning of the podcast, but you should know that by now. And that's about it. Anything else, Goldish?
No, that's it.
Right.
Thanks,
well,
man.
Thank you. Bye, shitheads.
High and Mighty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.